Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And a big star, Bennett Wakenight, is the new producer of the Business Lunch. And I, Will Flanagan's in the studio, too, from Chicago. You know, I just scared him a little bit, I think, because we talk about the fact that, you know, he's playing the bumps. And that was a great one, Bennett. It really was. But he started, and I'm like, oh, that's terrible.
It was awesome.
I think it was awesome, too. All right. So I look forward to getting to know Bennett. You will. I've known him for a couple of years now.
No, but I can't wait to know Bennett for a good 3-4 months. That seems to be the timeline you rifle through these guys.
It doesn't take long. They get to know me, and boom, they're gone. So we're standing by waiting for word from the White House, Kim Gordon, in the newsroom. And she'll let us know as soon as the Cubs and the president take to the podium. And so before that, it's going to be sort of an all Will Flanagan business lunch. Dahlke has the day off because he's never met a holiday he doesn't want to spend at home. Is that what it is?
If the banks are closed, gym's closed.
I want to kick around, and we've got a lot of topics to talk about. But one of the things I was just talking with Bill and Wendy about ahead of this is how, you know, the world has changed with social media and stuff. It's really, in a way, we're waiting for the president and the Cubs to speak. But the show started a couple of hours ago because of players tweeting out and Instagram and all of that. You know, it's sort of one continuous show.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, yesterday there was one of the big news after the NFL games is that Antonio Brown, the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, Facebook lived the post-game conference. And the coach, what was funny about it was in the coach's very passionate kind of like, on to the Patriots, here we go, guys, let's get it going. One of the things he was saying is like, let's be quiet on social media. Let's not give the Patriots any bulletin board material, while one of his players is streaming that conversation directly to the internet.
So wait, so the player was live streaming
was live streaming the in locker room discussion from the Steelers coach, and he was saying, we keep our heads down. You know, we're not going to give the Patriots anything to get inspired about. And meanwhile, this is being watched by thousands of people.
That's
live
trouble.
On Facebook.
You're not supposed to do that, are you?
Who knows? It's moving so fast. You know, you think the NFL's like every other organization. We don't have rules written into our office policies. With all of a sudden, Snapchat just released sunglasses that the Snapchat spectacles,
sure,
that allow you to live stream this stuff. Corporations don't have this written into their handbook. By the way, if you by any chance wearing sunglasses that can videotape stuff, make sure you don't do that. So everyone's trying to play catch up with how to, I guess, not allow this to happen.
I mean, because it seems so unlikely, or it would have just a few years ago, it'd be like, if you have X-ray glasses, right, don't bring them to work.
I know. It's like, why would you even waste your time putting that in the handbook when it sounded so futuristic? Meanwhile, that's the stuff you have to prepare for.
A couple of things when it comes to Facebook Living, though, in the locker room. One, you've got the employer-employee situation where you're giving away trade secrets, or at least maybe compromising yourself in one way or another. The other is the rights. I would imagine, you know, the NFL is getting money for those rights. And who was the player again?
It was Antonio Brown. It was
Antonio Brown,
receiver.
Right. Just sort of obliterated that and put him out live on Facebook.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I guess there's one of those, like, that's the whole point of Facebook Live is you are there. You're there at the concert. You're there in the locker room. But I don't mind the secrecy of the locker room. You know, I don't mind not knowing what's said, what is going on in Belichick's head. Like that's kind of the social contract I signed.
I don't think live pictures could tell you what's going on in Belichick's head.
No, yeah, that would be a pretty boring live stream.
And whenever I see a coach live in a locker room, like in a preset, I just figure he's not really telling us what he's going to say anyway.
No, and I mean, then there's the value that Facebook Live is adding, right? You're trained that any press conference, if the person knows they're on camera, then they're quote unquote on camera. So this allows you to see a very transparent, the coach was very loose. There were more swears involved than you would get at a press conference. And it was also cool how it wasn't immediately about the X's and O's. What he was talking about was don't say anything, keep quiet, we're going to sneak up and we're going to surprise them. And that's not obviously something you would say.
So right. we're going to be behind the trees at this part of the stadium. Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody. And that's what's cool about Facebook Live. There still needs to be almost like just an editing czar who can still say, yep, that's worth it. Nope, that's not worth it. Like, I love the idea of everybody can be anywhere, but there should be a little more selectiveness.
That's Will Flanagan. He's the general manager of Chicago Inno. And Will and often Jim Dahlke are in most Mondays for the first half hour of the Business Lunch. Today's a little different because we are standing by waiting for the White House ceremony with President Obama and the Chicago Cubs and Jimmy Buffett and Mayor Emanuel. Senator Durbin is there. I think Attorney General... Wow, I almost had Attorney General Hardigan. I just had an 80s flashback, Madigan. But you just said something that was interesting about the editor, the Facebook Live editor.
Yeah.
Okay, and to me, that's going back to where we were. I think in a way we're going forward to where absolutely everything is going to be live, and we're going to stop thinking about whether or not it is live. We're going to just assume, and I don't mean assume that it is and guard your words. I think it's going to come to the point where we're just going to be like we always were, and it's going to be live, and no one's going to care anymore.
No, and I totally agree, and that's, I think, it goes back to the whole if everybody's a publisher, nobody's a publisher. If
right,
everyone's
yeah.
a broadcaster, no one's a broadcaster. So I think as this technology and functionality on Facebook develops and becomes even more ubiquitous, I wish there was an editing way for someone to say, here's all of the stuff that's currently on the platform. Here is the best of
right.
the best.
I'm just thinking of it as, I possess two 20-year-olds and nearly 20-year-olds now, but when they were very young, people would try to keep their kids off of the internet.
Yeah.
I don't mean using it, but their pictures. Oh, there's danger here. We can't let and now it doesn't matter. Everyone's face is everywhere on the internet. There's nothing. It's almost beyond protecting them from anything because it's like walking down the street.
Yeah, no, our generation's relationship with privacy is fascinating. It's almost like it doesn't even exist. If you go back to the Facebook Live, the terrible story that happened a couple weeks ago with the Facebook Live of torture, and
right,
you asked
right,
the
sure.
question when we were on, like, didn't they know that people are going to see this? Like, why would you even do this?
Right.
Why would you videotape your crime? And it's, again, our relationship with privacy, almost like not even getting that. You say, oh, you wouldn't want your picture on the internet. We don't even get that there's a choice.
We're going to take a quick break, but in more than anything else, or almost anything else, Will, it varies on age. It's a generational or by age thing, because if you're my age or a little older, it's much more foreign to if you're your age or much younger, right? If you're much younger than you, it's just accepted. It's just the way it is.
100%. I mean, that's the term digital native. This is
digital
all
native, yeah.
we know. So there's when you say there's a choice, we're choosing to, like, not really. Is there a choice? I have this mini computer in my pocket and I take pictures and I share them.
We're standing by for the Cubs and President Obama live for the White House. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Back at it after this. Thank you very much, Jim Ryan. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch 12:18 on this Monday afternoon, a holiday, Martin Luther King Day, as Jim said, and a holiday as well, one that no one thought would ever come. The Cubs are at the White House celebrating their World Series victory. Kim Gordon is standing by to carry that live from the newsroom. Any updates, Kim?
Steve, we're starting to hear crowd noise now, so I think obviously the president's running a little bit late, but there are so many dignitaries from Illinois in the room. Mayor Emanuel, Attorney General Lisa Madigan, David Axelrod just walked into the room, apparently wearing a Bryant Rizzo campaign T-shirt. So everybody's in the mood, waiting for the World Series champs. We just don't know when the president's going to come in.
Yeah, we had some guidance that the president had another event not too long after this one, a Martin Luther King Day event. So I really thought this was going to be on time. But all right,
you know what?
By.
It's his last week. He's probably saying, run on my time now.
We're on Obama time.
Exactly.
In the interim, Will Flanagan is in the studio, the general manager of Chicago Inno. And one of the things, so it is Martin Luther King Day. And there's this really cool thing going on with FX3, is that the company? They've got this King hologram?
Yeah, it's EX3 Labs. They're hosting the MLK 3D experience tonight at 1871. And what they're doing is they're combining virtual reality, augmented reality, and holographic technology to celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. They're going to have they're going to be using a hologram to display him giving the "I Have a Dream" speech. They have these interactive experiences that take you into pivotal moments of the civil rights movement. So it's a really neat way. Again, you know, when we talk about augmented reality, virtual reality, usually it's for silly things or games that almost makes you laugh, and it's really cool to see this kind of technology used for teaching. The first time you heard about the hologram, right, is when they created a hologram of Tupac during Coachella a couple years ago, and it's like, oh, that's cool, great, that's what technology is going to be used for. And then you see something like this, so, you know, props to EX3 Labs, which is a innovation consultancy here in Chicago, really putting this together and doing a really cool thing with this tech.
No, there are no Elvis holograms yet, because didn't Elvis tour after he was dead by video?
There is going to be a hologram of everything very soon. I actually don't know if I'm not looking at a Steve hologram right now.
I can't tell if
you took the day off, too.
It's a holiday, damn it. if the banks are closed, Dalkey's off, and I'm a hologram. So that's a pretty cool thing to look for. And I think that, you know, Randy Schaefer, who writes about social media for the Tribune, is going to come in a little bit later in the show. But one of the things that she's been talking about lately is how social media has changed the way social justice is organized, right, and fought for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about social justice, is the infrastructure of social justice is transparency, right? That's where you start and you build from there. And social media has just made everything more transparent. Right. We're more aware of it. So I wouldn't say it makes the job of social justice easier, because that's certainly not the case. You know, you would have assumed we'd be accelerating through progress, but it does make it, like, it makes everything more visible. And I'm sure every social justice organization, you know, has their tweet deck open, has their Facebook organized so that they can track all this.
You know what, though, as you say that, I'm thinking about how we started the program with the fact that everyone is live now and it's sort of ubiquitous. I wonder if it becomes harder for some of these social justice organizations to get through the clutter. Where in the past, if there were a few isolated, strongly focused messages, you could get that out. Now, if everyone is a publisher, they might be getting lost in some of the noise.
Well, that's a great point, and that's where you end up with tools like Geofedia, which we talked about a lot last year, which was the Chicago startup that used real-time location data to allow brands and organizations to market to people where they are at the right time at the right place. So, yes, there's tools that make that easier, but sometimes is that too easy, right? They got in a lot of trouble because police organizations were using their software, using their technology to track protesters. And a lot of people thought they were, you know, getting in the way of individual civil rights. So Facebook kind of kicked them off of the platform, resulting in layoffs. So it's hard, right? We're sharing so much data. We are sharing so much information about ourselves, about the people next to you. There are tools that help you cut through the clutter, but are we cutting through it too much? And when there's that much information, are people using it responsibly?
Yeah.
It's just so easy. It's so easy to abuse.
I mean,
it
wasn't long ago when all the emphasis was trying to figure out how to get it out there. And now the emphasis really is how to filter through what is out there and bring it back into yourself.
Oh, it's all about the gold is there, right? Like that's what
the data
evaluation. It's who are the best miners. Data is being produced. It's Steve, you and I right now, I'm assuming you have a phone in your pocket.
I do.
We're generating data. We are generating gold. Is it valuable gold? Probably not, right? We're sitting in the same place, not really doing
anything.
Speak
for yourself, Buster.
Yeah, I guess that's true, right? You know, maybe it's clear on your phone. You know, your wife has a birthday coming up, and you've been searching a few sites to see what to get her. So that is valuable data, and you're generating that, and who can capture all of this stuff we're creating. That's why just looking outside the array of things project with the city adding all of these data nodes to capture who's waffing, human traffic patterns, all of this stuff. And to your point, we are creating data fast enough to create miners in a way.
That's Will Flanagan, the general manager of Chicago. You know, and we talk in general, but sometimes specifically about companies too. And we're kind of vamping ahead of the Cubs. So I don't know how much time we're going to have after or before. So let's take the time now, because you got to tell me about this Cast 21.
Oh, yeah. These
it's the guys coolest
are awesome.
Story.
Yeah. So this Cast 21 is man, one of my favorite startups that we've been covering, and it's down in Champaign out of UIC, and they have created a waterproof, breathable cast. So unlike traditional casts, the Cast 21, it's an open lattice design, so it's inspired, but think like Steve of a Chinese finger trap, and it looks really, really
cool. I live in one of those, yes, I do.
And it's made of a waterproof material that's comfortable on the skin and easy to work with in manufacturing, and it's molded to the patient's arm using a patent-pending tubing system.
So this is going to change the way kids grow up. First of all, you know, scratching under the cast, A. B, staying out of the water or taking a shower with a baggie on your hand or arm. All that goes out the window with this.
Yeah, isn't this real disruption, right? That's the reason why we make fun or we scoff at the word disruption is because we usually say things like, Steve, I have a product that's disrupting toilet paper, or disrupting
we talked last
shoelaces.
About the brush that can tell you if your hair is
oily.
Yeah,
we're disrupting the toothbrush, and we have a lot of fun with things like that. But yeah, look at the cast. I broke my wrist a bunch of times as a kid because I had brothers and I was clumsy, and the cast is dumb.
Right, right.
It's itchy.
It's a dumb machine.
It stinks. It's a dumb machine. And these students are disrupting it in a way, and they just raised $800,000. They raised a seed round to get their cast into more hospitals. And they're targeting doctors who cast arms 50 to 100 times per week. So they've created something that makes their jobs easier, and it also makes users, people who have broken their arms, lives better.
It's called Cast 21. Now, don't go out and break your arm today, right? Because you can't use it yet.
I can't promise anything.
That's Will Flanagan, general manager of Chicago Inno. We're going to take a break, and with any luck at all, talk to President Obama and the Cubs after this. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on a Martin Luther King Day, Monday, 12:34, January 16th. Will Flanagan is in the studio. He's a general manager from Chicago Inno, and he and Jim Dulkey are around. Most Mondays, we're sort of tossing the coin in the air. What's the football analogy or the baseball analogy, Will? I don't know, but I'm basically making Will talk about anything he knows about until the Cubs come out. So pick a category.
This is great. I love the riff.
Do you?
Yeah. One of the reasons I moved to Chicago 6-7 years ago was for Second City. So
is that true?
I'm trained in improv.
Yeah.
Had a nice little run with them a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Kelly Leonard was in last week, and we talked about
their
classes and things and all of that.
It's great. It's it fulfilled my weird middle child syndrome where it got me on stage in front of people. But it's honestly, it's valuable if you want to be a better manager. Like it just reinforces the value of collaboration and listening. You know, you can't just get on stage and bowl your way through, and it's great. Yes. I love it, and I do think it's made me a better worker.
Well, here's the thing about improv is it allows you to hear something and immediately react and have something to say. We talked to Kelly Leonard about yes and and all that. So I'm just going to throw a topic at you, and you tell me what comes to your mind. Okay,
sure,
something outrageous. You ready? Connected chicken coop.
Love them. My connected coop, Steve, is one of my favorite new Chicago startups. I'm actually going to say, and you know what? That was pure improv, folks. You did not prep me on that at all.
There is something called a connected chicken coop.
Yeah, it's my connected coop. I'm going to see these guys right after this, learn their story, and it's the world's first automated and mobile phone controlled backyard chicken coop.
Okay, and so when I hear things, you know, my first reaction is always to laugh and to put it down.
Yeah.
Then you explain to me why it's good, and I say, oh, I didn't even think of that.
It's cutting edge technology enables a natural, wholesome lifestyle, right? If we just talked a little bit about the cast needed disruption. I don't know, the chicken coop is kind of old and antiquated. So what this does, it has reliable technology to ensure ease and convenience to fit your schedule. It has a camera to check on your chickens.
Because there are more and more people who have chickens in their backyard.
Oh, yeah, no, it helps, you know, you live a healthy lifestyle. And here's the thing.
Get salmonella from the chickens.
We should all have chickens, right? Why not? But we all can't be farmers. So the idea behind this startup is to fill the gap. Their kind of idea is having a chicken in your backyard is good for you and your family. You're making your own eggs. It's fun. So here is an easy onboarding tool for it. So it's pretty cool. And what I think is really funny about this one is we get a question a lot all of the time. You know, how do we, you know, where do you guys get your stories? How do we pitch you? Jim, if you have an amazing trend or deep dive, technology that is changing the city's economy, Jim's all over that stories. He has a great one on how the Motorola layoffs really helped seed a lot of new hardware tech here in the city. Karis has her thumb on the pulse of everything going on around STEM efforts and college entrepreneurship. If you have a connected chicken coop, you email that to me.
That's your bailiwick?
That's my beat.